Are you ready for the word tonight? Well, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to get there a little bit slower than you, but we'll get there in the end. I just want to set this up for just a few minutes. But tonight I really want to speak, and I felt this in my heart for quite some time, to speak on the subject of spiritual authority and understanding that you carry the authority of God in your heart and in your life. You know, too often we can walk through our day and just get through life and just be who we be and do what we do. And sometimes we underestimate the level of power that we have working in our world and in our life. And the scripture says in John chapter 8, verse 32, how many know that scripture? It says this: you shall know the truth. Somebody say, you shall know the truth. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, the amazing thing is, the truth only has the power to make you free if you know it. If you don't know the truth, well, the power of that truth is not alive on the inside of your heart. How many people have ever heard of a president called Abraham Lincoln? In 1863, Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation called the Emancipation Proclamation. And what that was that slavery was no longer acceptable in the United States, and that every slave had the right to be free. So every slave no longer had to be subject to that system that they were locked into. They were free because Abraham Lincoln had made such a huge proclamation. The whole nation heard it, and it was law. But the problem was, the slave owners were not telling the slaves that they had freedom, and so were keeping them captive without them even realizing that they had been set free. And so they were free people, but the message had not got to them. And do you know, the truth is, that's the same with every single person on planet Earth. Everyone on this planet is free by the grace of God. But until we know it and accept Jesus, that truth can't work on the inside of our heart. And you know, it's amazing to think that there were millions of people in slavery in America, yet they were free and they did not even know it. You know, the truth is, you can be free from things that may be holding you, and it's just simply knowing the truth of what God says. Can you say amen if you believe that tonight? And you know, it goes for so many other principles in the Bible. Even as believers, there are blessings that you and I can walk in by the grace of God. There are privileges that we have. There are blessings that we have in Christ that we may not be walking in, not because he hasn't given them to us, not because we don't have the anointing for it, we don't have the blessing of God in our world. It's simply, there is blessing and authority and supernatural things that can work in your life that you may not be accessing, not because you're a bad person or not because you're not the sharpest person or whatever the case may be. The reason we miss out on some of the things God has is simply we just don't know what we have in Christ. And the truth is, you and I have authority in our world as believers, as Christians, as mums and dads, as people of God. We have supernatural authority that we may not even know about it. Did you turn to Matthew 28? Are you ready? Let's have a look at this for just a minute. It says this in verse 16 of Matthew 28. If you've got it, say amen. Verse 18 of Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, all authority has been given in my name. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, go therefore. Now, you might not know this, but whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you've got to ask this question. What's that therefore, therefore? And so if you see the word therefore, you know that it's connecting to something before. This is just basic English. I'm quite linguistic in my skill. And so he says, go therefore, baptizing people, getting people touched and changed. But in other words, he says, the authority that's on me, I'm going to heaven, so I'm putting that authority on you to subdue things, to make things happen for the kingdom of God. So in other words, you've got such authority on your life that no weapon formed against you can prosper. You've got so much authority in you, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you know, the truth is some Christians walk with their head held low and they're defeated and they're flat and they're depressed and they feel like they're getting buffeted on every side. And I'm not talking about crazy, demonic, crazy things, which is true stuff, but that's not what I'm preaching about. I'm just talking about sometimes the storms of life that are difficult, the stresses of life, the challenges, just trying to keep food on the table, just trying to pay our rent or pay our mortgage or just trying to pay things and just get going. You feel like you take two steps forward and three steps back and you feel like I can't do it anymore. Do you realize the authority of God is for you to prevail even in these seasons? It's not just about ministry. It's not just about platform and church. It's about your everyday life, understanding who you are and whose you are by the... Man, I'm getting excited. I'm so excited. I don't know what's about to happen. My right leg's going to start going. He says, all authority has been given in my name. Let's have a look at another passage. We're just going to have a look at this. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let's have a look at the book of Luke. The book of Luke McMartin. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Verse 19, in fact. Verse 18 is there, but we'll go with verse 19. It says, Jesus says, behold, I give you authority. Somebody say authority. Well, there you go. Well said, brother. To trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power. Somebody say the power. The power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. In other words, he says, I give you authority over the power of the enemy. See, the enemy has some power. The enemy has some tricks. The enemy has some stuff that he can do. But here's the thing. You don't even need to fret. You don't need to worry because God says, I've given you power. I've given you authority that totally short circuits anything the enemy can do in your heart and in your life. But we need to understand how to use that authority so we can live in the victory that God's given us. Paul says, I'm fighting the good fight of faith. Life's a fight. Life's a grind. I thought life was hard. Then I had a child 9 months ago. Life's hard. I've had projectile, all sorts of things. The three things I valued in my life, sleep, independence, money, all gone. But you got supernatural authority. You got authority over the enemy. You got authority over sickness and disease, authority over poverty and lack, authority over anything the enemy comes against you with. But how do you exercise that authority? Are you with me? We're just going to have a look at this for a minute because I really want to get something in your spirit so you leave knowing how to walk in some power in your life and see God do things. How do we walk in spiritual authority? Let's have a look at one more passage of scripture. Let's have a look at the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And most of you would have heard this in Sunday school, or maybe if you went to a really old school church, you would have heard this. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you've got to say amen. For we walk in the flesh, we don't walk according to the flesh. For the weapons, somebody say the weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. We used to sing about that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Gee, songs have gotten better. They are mighty, they are mighty. Yeah, that's moving right along. The weapons of our warfare, the weapons. Do you realize that you have weapons at your disposal? You have some weapons of mass destruction. You have some stuff that if you release that stuff, things are going to happen in your heart and in your life. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see prayers answered. You're going to see things shift. You're going to see stuff that's coming against you begin to fall at every side. Why? Because if you understand the power of what you carry, the authority that you carry, you can see things shift and move in the name of Jesus. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal was the word that my mother used to call me when I misbehaved. You're so carnal. But it's not actually fully what it means. Carnal, we sort of associate with sin, but that's not really what he's saying. He's just saying the weapons of your warfare, they're not natural weapons. They're not natural stuff. They're supernatural weapons that are for the pulling down of strongholds. Now strongholds are a funny thing. It's almost like if you picture your life as an open space and then some bad thinking gets in there, you start to build a little fortress kind of thing is what the word means. And it's like every part of your mind and spirit's really working well, but there's this part of you that's just taken some ground in your space, in your spiritual space, that is contrary to the things of God. Maybe it's a thought pattern, maybe it's even an addiction, maybe it's something. But the deal is, he says, I'm going to give you some weapons so when these strongholds come, you have the power to break those things in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Because too often we're Christians walking around with strongholds and challenges, and it's almost like we love God, but we can't beat this thing, or this challenge keeps coming back. But we need to know that we have the power to overcome. I can't do it in my own strength, but thank God for his strength. Thank God for his power, for the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Somebody say mighty. Through God. So I want to have a look. We're going to go so fast that it's going to be scary. Some of you are going to get whiplash from the sheer speed of about what's about to take place. But I want to give you very quickly, I want to give you six, and some of them are going to be quick. Some of them we'll just spend a minute on. I want to give you six weapons of mass destruction that you have in your life. Are you ready? If you've got a pen and paper, write it down. If you've got a compass, scratch it into your neighbor's arm. Whatever it takes, then we'll photocopy the arm. It'll be awesome. Are you ready? Number one. Now, some of these are going to be basic, and then I want to just show you something at the end. So just go with me. Six weapons of mass destruction. Your WMD. They're right here. I found them. Number one, the Word of God. Now, you say, well, that's not deep. Let me tell you, the Bible says the Word of God is sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing and supernatural. I'm telling you, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. When you get the Word of God in you, it changes you, but the Word of God is also a weapon to the enemy. When the devil tempted Jesus, what happened? He said to Jesus, man, if you're really Jesus, turn that bread into a rock. And he says, man shall not live. He quoted the Word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. How's it going? You doing all right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He used a word as a weapon to overcome the enemy. When the enemy comes against you, you need to start saying the word. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, I get excited about this because sometimes you can accept failure. You can accept defeat. But Jesus didn't hang, bleed, and die on Calvary for you to live in hell on earth while on your way to heaven, whom the Son sets free. Come on, somebody, help me preach a little bit. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Word of God works. The Word of God aligns your thinking with the thinking of God. Number two. Are you ready? Number two is the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you right now, there's no greater force on this planet than the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm getting old school for a minute, but man, if the blood of a lamb could be applied to a house in Egypt and save a family from death, the blood of a sheep, the blood of a lamb, if the power in that blood can save a house, how much more is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? That when it touches your life, you go from going one direction, hell, to going to heaven in just a moment of time. I mean, the power of what Jesus did. And can I tell you, that's a weapon that'll go with you every single day of your life. The forgiveness, the grace, the mercy, man. Everything that Calvary purchased for you is a weapon of mass. Man, I'm telling you right now, how can you live defeated? How can I live? I don't understand how you can be a depressed Christian. Oh, it's so bad. Everything's just so bad. You know, maybe life wouldn't be so bad if you saw how big God is and how supernatural he is. The Bible says in Revelation, they overcame the devil. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Number three, your story is a weapon of mass destruction. Some people underestimate their testimony. You know, I got friends who've got better testimonies than me, Pastor Brendan. But I hear testimonies of people that reckon they got stung and they died and they came back to life and went to heaven and hell. And I mean, that's a testimony. People that were leaders of hate groups and they get delivered by the grace of God and they tell these stories and you sit there and go, wow. And then I think my testimony sucks. I was six and Pastor Andrew Evans is preaching at Paradise Church and he says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And I thought, well, I hate my sister. She bit me. She's controlling. She's mean. And he says, if you don't love your brother, you need to give your heart to Jesus. So I was like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Wash this six-year-old clean. And I'd hear all these stories. That was mine. I was terrible. The worst thing I ever did was I bit Paul Kenny in prep because I found out he was a ballet dancer. That was the worst thing I ever did. I think it helped him. Do you know, some of you, You think you don't have a big story, so you're trying to forge one right now. Do you know, sometimes you don't need to go and get a testimony. Just keep the one you've got. God began to speak to me one time. I said, God, I need to do some bad things so I can preach a bit better and tell stories about how at the age of 7, I was a drug lord in Colombia. Then at 8, I murdered a few people. At 9, not really. I was 6 years of age and other kids were playing G.I. Joe. I was holding church services for my friends and feeding the kids Panadol for communion. I said, there's healing in the cup. There really was. But you know, something, I'll tell you one thing. I can tell you, is whether you're saved out of a life of hell on earth, you're still saved out of hell and put into heaven. And that's the power of the blood of Jesus. And do you know something? You've got a weapon. It's your testimony. You might not know how to share your faith. It might not be natural for you to go up to someone at Macca's and say, now where will you go if you die? Will you spend eternity smoking or non-smoking? Can I tell you that? Sometimes it's really not that natural. But you can tell someone, hey, something in my life. You can say, you know what? I was at church last Sunday and God touched me, or God spoke to me, or God changed something in my world. You begin to testify to the bigness of God. Let me tell you, there's power in that. There is supernatural power in your story. You might not have the world's biggest story, but I tell you something, your conversion is as big in the eyes of heaven as anybody else's. The Bible says when one person comes home to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. Man, you've got angels that start flying with one wing into each other, knocking them down. Halos fall off. It's Ock Health and Safety disaster up there. But they rejoice because one person who was lost has become found. When Jesus healed the blind man, they were trying to reason with him and have a big conversation. Why do you think you're blind? And they had this big conversation. All he said was, I don't really know what's going on, but what I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. And you know something? That's a testimony right there. You were blind, but now you see. I want to tell you, there is power in your story. Number four. Are you ready? Number four. And this I kind of come back to every time I preach, but another weapon you've got at your disposal is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jude 20. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Ghost. That's good news. Even on Mother's Day weekend. Some of you got some awkward lunches coming up this Sunday. You need the Holy Ghost. Number five is giving and generosity. When you give, the Bible says he rebukes the devourer for your sake. Giving is a supernatural thing. Tithing and giving protects your world from what the enemy wants to do, and people are trying to find so many doctrines not to tithe, so many YouTube clips not to tithe, and so many Stop getting pastored by Google. Google's a terrible pastor. YouTube is a horrible pastor. Let me tell you, stick with what you're hearing in the house, because they're not trying to preach tithing to try and get your money. They're trying to teach tithing so you can live in the blessing of God. Your seed that you give when you give an offering, it might leave your hand, but it never leaves your life. It might leave your hand, but I'm telling you, in the scheme of God, he's setting up your world to make it better and stronger. Number six. I want to talk about the weapon of rest. And we're seeing that tonight. Find rest, my soul. The weapon of rest. The Bible says, they that wait. The book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says that they that wait upon the Lord, what they shall renew their strength. Can I tell you, there is something about sometimes you feel like you're in a fight. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to make it. There is something powerful about saying, God, I'm just going to rest and let you fight for me. Some people are in such a hurry. They're in a hurry all the time. Go, go, go. There's no rest in God. They're just going, going. Being in a hurry. Good things never happen when you're in a hurry. I was flying out of Tampa, Florida to St. Louis. I was in a hurry. I got there late and I'm trying to go through security. I was wearing shorts and took my belt off. I had stuff in my hand, and the lady keeps going, do this, do that. So I'm doing this and doing that. I'm in a hurry. I'm flustered. The next minute, as I'm standing there, my shorts fell to the ground. I was standing there in my underpants. Very uncomfortable for everyone. And the lady thought it was so funny. She's going, ladies and gentlemen, please put your laptops on the conveyor belt. Please walk through the thingy one person at a time, and please keep your pants on at this time. Well, nothing good happens when you're in a hurry. I was flying out of Boston, coming back to Australia last April, this time last year. And I'm running along to catch. I was so late that if the plane hadn't been delayed, we wouldn't have made the plane. So I'm racing. I'm running through the terminal, and I have a little camera bag, and the camera bag fell out of my carry-on. This is literally 4 or 5 days after the Boston bombing, so everybody was antsy anyway. So I'm on the plane, I'm seated, and they said, "Would David Hall please come to the front of the plane?" So I go to the front of the plane thinking they were going to give me an upgrade or something, so I was like, "Yeah, that's me. It's going to be awesome." And so the next minute they said, "We have to refer you to security," who escort me off the plane. So I get escorted off the plane. So I'm now walking off the plane thinking, "Oh, I'm about to die. Been a good year, God's good, but this is it." And so I walk out, and the whole terminal is shut down, basically. And my camera is sitting on the ground, and there is about 3 meters circle all the way around my camera with TSA, with FBI, with the whole lot. And they said to me, "Sir, is that your package?" I said, "That indeed is my package, friends." "What is in that package?" That would have been a great time to say, "A bomb." I said, "It's my camera." They didn't believe me, did they? "Prove it." "Well, if I could just open, don't go near that package." "Well, I don't really know how I can prove it." So I said, "Look, I'm a good bloke. I love America. I don't want you to kick me out. I promise that's my camera." Was running pretty swiftly to make the plane, running like a startled gazelle, if you will. Running, must have fallen out. There it is. "I'm glad I've got my camera. Sorry for the inconvenience, folks. By the way, Croc Dundee, my cousin." So then the guy says, "I want you to move very slowly to the camera." So I am moving, feeling like a complete moron at the time. I get in there and I open it and I show him the camera. "Turn it on!" So I turn it on. He says, so I had to take a photo to prove that it was actually a camera. It was a selfie. Let's say it was a selfie under pressure, I will tell you. You know what I thought? I'd get a rush back to the plane. I thought to myself, man, if I just got there earlier. I wasn't in a rush. I wasn't going. And just maybe this wouldn't happen, you know? You know, you might be here tonight and life's just hit you from every end. Life's just boom. You've just had boom after boom after boom. Maybe this year's just been a terrible year for you. You face challenge, you face disappointment, you face all kinds of stuff. Maybe life's just tough at the moment. Maybe you just feel like you're pressed on every side and you say, "Dave, I've had enough. I'm tired of fighting." Paul says, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race." You know, sometimes in the worst storm, the best thing you can do is just rest in what is done. Say, "God, I trust you." That weapon of rest is powerful, because when you rest, you're saying to the enemy, you're saying to circumstances, you're saying to life, you're saying, "Do you know, I can rest because there's one who fights for me."